We have been presenting Advent customs to you from time to time, from year to year, and hopefully in the future we can put out a little booklet that has all these customs in it, that the people can come to use these customs and can begin once again to learn to live the experience of Catholic life. I have attached myself lately to the use of the word experience. Experience of Catholic life, experience of Catholic living. Remember that 40 years ago, when all of this really began to come to a head, most of us were still rather young pups. And we did not really and truly comprehend what was taking place. As a matter of fact, we really didn't care too much about that. But something was taking place, and we allowed ourselves to go along with the tide, and we misunderstood, allowed ourselves to go on with the tide, and we forgot, those older ones of us. That's the first generation. The second generation were much younger. Some of you are second generation. And all you know about what it was about is what has been told you, perhaps even what you have seen in the picture books, what you have heard on records of music. You are mostly in here second generation. There are some third generations, and these know nothing about it, know nothing about it at all. And the fourth generation, my beloved people, is coming on. That's where we are. And we have pretty much forgotten Catholic life, Catholic living, and Catholic experience. And it is unfortunate today that we have gotten to the point where even our teachers of Catholic experience are second and third generation. How can they give what they simply don't possess? So we present to you our little customs, little things that begin to ignite the little spark of belief in our family circle, and that our children can attach the one situation with the other, the world and their religion, and that the two can somehow or other be brought together, and that we can take the world, and that we can put some religious interpretation to the things of the world. The church has always done that. It has always done that. But today, we start off, for us, a new year, a new liturgical year. It is the beginning. It is a new beginning. We start off now with the period of expectation, and we come to the birth, and we come to the passion, and the death, and the resurrection. We begin today, once again. At every new beginning, people say, it is time for us to re-examine. It is time for us to reassess. It is time for us to begin anew. It is time for us to make certain resolutions. And my beloved people, I think you might have gotten the idea from former moments of mine that I do not like resolutions. I hate resolutions. Why? Because resolutions are activities of the mind. The fickle mind. Even Shakespeare said, as inconstant as the moon, the mind is easily turned about. The last one that has presented to me his argument has got my mind. Remember, Satan and his whole way is a product of his mind. Satan is the greatest scholar of all time. But for all of his scholarship, for all of his knowledge, for all of his intelligence, has that made Satan good? Of course not. I am also tired of the present day emphasis on the intellectual presentation of our holy religion. It means nothing. As a matter of fact, all you have to look and see in this intellectual presentation of things, the splintered, super splintered condition of things today. And in all of this splintering, it's like taking a huge dish and dashing it on the ground, and it breaks to pieces. Each of these pieces of the splinter insists on saying that I am the dish and none of you are the dish. If you insist on believing that you have the truth, and 2 + 2 = 4, and you over here insist on having the truth, and you also insist that 2 + 2 = 4, and so does the one over there, and up there, and beyond. If all of us say that 2 + 2 = 4, what are we fighting about? Whatever are we fighting about? Today, the gospel, our holy church, ended last year, last Sunday, with the gospel of the end days. Today, we begin the new year with another gospel concerning the end days. Isn't this a cheerful way to live? that all we do is talk about death, end of the world, storm, earthquake, etc., etc., and etc. Is this not a negative way to present ourselves? Yes. It's very negative for those of us who are negative. There are three questions that every living human being simply must answer. He cannot get around answering these three questions. He doesn't answer them always properly, but those three questions are uppermost in his mind. I have to know where I came from. I have to know what my purpose here is. And I simply have to know where I am going. And to dodge these questions and to turn my head away from them does not solve the problem, does not make it easy for me. Many today are doing that, but they have substituted something to keep them having to think, to face up to these questions, and they've taken to you know what? To promiscuity, to drugs, to whatever else they use to keep from having to listen. These Gospels are not negative. They're not negative because I am concerned about particularly the third question, where I'm going. I know I'm going someplace. I know that this present existence must come to an end. I know that this which feels, I know which this that this which thinks, I know that this which eats and grows and multiplies. I see this, and then suddenly it all comes to an end. And I no longer feel, and I no longer eat, I no longer think, I no longer anything. I'm just nothing. Is this the end of me? I have to come to the conclusion that what I see, that what I eat and digest and so on is really not me. And that when I come to a certain point of my existence, there becomes a change, a radical change. This thing which today eats and tomorrow doesn't, this thing which today thinks and tomorrow doesn't, a change has happened. Something apparently has gone out of this thing. And I have to comprehend the fact that it is me who has gone out of this thing. Now, where does me go? Where does me reside? This is what we have to come. And when we are concerned about what me has to do in order to place me in the proper place, anything that disciplines me, anything that puts restraints on me, for the proper reasons, of course, anything, then has to be positive. If I put all of my interest in the things of this earth, money, power, popularity, ownership, you name it, if those are the things that mean something to me, then what I'm talking about is totally negative. And you know yourselves the ridiculous things that have taken place in recent years, a couple of years ago, where these people, someplace over in the western part of our nation, actually prepared themselves for death. They put money in their pockets. They held money in their hands. They had all the possessions that they wanted to carry along with them on their journey, wherever they were going. And they put themselves to sleep. They went to sleep all right. What happened to the money? What happened to the things that they had drawn unto themselves, that they were to carry with themselves when they went on their journey? Things remained with thing. And that was the end of that episode. It is time for us to rise from sleep. It is time for us to assess what it's all about. Am I here to build a palace, to have a soft life, to live all the beautiful things, and they are beautiful, that man's ingenuity has brought to be? Am I here to have and possess those things? Of course not. The only thing that must become a source of the greatest concern to me, I'm not being selfish, the greatest thing that must be of the greatest concern to me is me. Did you hear that message? Did it sink in? And all of the money, and all of the wealth, and all of everything that I can think of that I wish to draw unto myself, it's time to quit by the clock. Everything that I wish to draw to myself is totally insignificant. And I must live a life that is in conformity with and that agrees with the horrendous, awesome words that come to us from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ himself. He was the second person of the Blessed Trinity. That means he was God. And as God, from the moment he touched the face of this earth to the moment he died and left the face of this earth, his life was a suffering. How many of us are willing to follow him, which he said, follow me? How many? How many of us are willing to suffer? How many of us are willing to make reparation? How many of us are willing to be mortified? How many of us are willing to be humble? How many of us are willing to be obedient? How many of us are willing to put aside self-will? These are the things that we must do something about. And the reconstruction of obedience, and the reconstruction of humility, and the reconstruction of mortification and penance, and on and on and on and on, none of this is negative activity. And isn't it a tragedy that our own church our own church. Has begun to speak of these things as being negative. Our own church has removed from us those things which are the most positive things in my existence. The things that will cause me to reach the place that I am intended to be. Our own church has done this. And as a consequence, it has brought in all of these divergent opinions, beliefs, trends, anything you can think of. And somehow or other, our own church is telling us that if we love, L-U-V, if we love, we can somehow or other bring all of these divergent opinions in a chorus that sounds like one voice. How can black and white be brought together and be anything but black and white after they are brought together? And yet that's what we're expected to be doing. It doesn't work that way. It is time for us to rise from sleep. This is going one of these days. I hope God's not in too big a hurry. But this is going. And every one of you is going. Young, middle-aged, and old. Remember the third question. Where am I going? And anything that assists me, regardless, in making that question more plausible is positive.